with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
Live from Horseshoe, Indianapolis. Good morning, everybody. Sirius 219, XM 201, Sports Zone 964, if you're listening to Sirius XM online and at our website, stevebick.com. And, you know, I got 2 days here to do a lot, and we'll do the best we can to catch up on everything that went on. This is why you don't go on vacation. Not because of the things you miss per se, but because you then have to summarize everything and try to encapsulate what went on, and the trip I'll be talking about with you, you probably an equal measure from. From the time we left, and we basically spent, 6.5 days in Mexico and 6.5 days on Route 66. And I cannot tell you, how much fun. If you want to have a vacation, this was different, obviously. But, the Mexico side of it was absolute R&R, where we essentially did not leave, poolside. The beach was very rocky, actually, where we were in Cancun. But so we didn't leave poolside, really, for 6 days. I mean, just laid there. And I'm as tan as you'll ever see me. Yeah, I broke through the lobster level and made it to... I made it to burnt umbra, I think. I've got so. But then we zipped to Phoenix, and God bless Tina. I can't thank her enough. I mean, she said, as we were planning this, she said, "Do you want to do your Route 66 idea?" I said, "Really?" So I said, "I said, all right, I guess we could take an extra couple of days on the vacation side." And, then actually Mike Lauer called from Indiana here and had asked about, would I be able to come for Derby and Oaks for Indiana, the lead up to Indiana Derby Day. And I, my head, the way my mind works, I right away, I started to connect the dots. I thought, well, we could fly to... So next thing you know, we fly to Phoenix and go up. Actually, went through Sedona, which I'd never seen, which is unbelievable, and hooked up with Route 66 in Flagstaff, and then proceeded. That was Saturday afternoon, which it's hard to believe that was 5 days ago. But if you've seen... I haven't even put all this stuff up. I've got stories to tell you that... are just amazing. You find things. I mean, there's the things that everybody knows about on Route 66 and the guidebooks and all that stuff that direct you and, point out features. But then, because of the way my mind works, I come across things and just sort of catch, I'm just inquisitive enough to say, let's turn here. And Tina's doing the driving. We got a convertible, so not only did I get the sun in Mexico, we then was able to get more sun. Of course, it's 111 degrees. We drove from Flagstaff the first night. We got to Holbrook, Arizona, and then the second night we were in Tucumcari, New Mexico. Third night, Tulsa, and then last night in St. Louis. So then that was, we were going to Chicago. We're flying out of Chicago, in fact, on Saturday. So we aren't going to get that last leg, the St. Louis to Chicago portion. But We'll do that another time. And also, of course, got to do the Phoenix West. It's amazing. It seems that, and I understand why, the majority of the Route 66 play seems to be Chicago to L.A. And heading eastbound, there's not as much. It's all the same stuff, but it's backwards. It was like Hebrew, the way I was reading the guidebooks. I mean, you have to sort of start at the bottom of the page and go up and then jump to another chapter. It was not easy. So we just went all over the place, and I got food stops to tell you about, and I'll weave all this in. And a couple of things that I found, one thing that I'm so amazed by that I have to package it properly, and when I put up the story about it, because it there's so many things you never knew happened that the Bunyan Derby, the transcontinental foot race, New York to L.A., 1928. I think maybe I had heard about it. Maybe at some point, but you're driving along and you find out about it, and there's a small marker in a tiny little town. I mean, a town that you wouldn't. Barely marked on the map. Andy Payne won this race and found his little town. In fact, not only did he find Andy Payne's little hometown, found Hale Irwin. You're driving along, a big sign. Well, you know, childhood home of Hale Irwin, the great multi-time U.S. Open champion. How about, well, we had to stop at Commerce, Oklahoma. Had to check out. You want to talk about boyhood homes? I'll put up a picture, and maybe you've seen it if you're a Yankee fan. Mickey Mantle's boyhood home in Commerce, the Commerce Comet. We did get to go to Whalen's Cuckoo Burger in Miami. That's the other fun thing, where you find a town that spelled Miami, but they don't call it Miami. It's Miami. So I had just an amazing, amazing time. And I said to Tina last night as we were getting to St. Louis, or actually getting here, I said I could do probably 3 hours, just on the trip. It was magical. And what's neat is so many people have either done it or done portions of it or interested in doing it. And if you've had an inkling about doing it, there's sections that are not passable. I mean, there's large stretches of Arizona and New Mexico that I-40 has kind of absorbed, and there's just not, it's not, the road's just not there. I mean, the towns that you can still go into, the towns off of I-40 and soak in, for sections. But once you hit Oklahoma, you can drive it. You basically get the experience, and you can stay. And Missouri too. Tina and I were off road virtually all of Missouri, and that was certainly all of Oklahoma. We were on 66, and that gives you the real feel. And I don't know if you're like me. There's this whole if you're on Instagram and so forth, and years ago on Flickr, the abandoned photography, the things that are abandoned and desolate and deserted, and there's unbelievable imagery. I happen to love that. So the ruins, quote unquote, essentially, that are along the way here are they themselves have, to me, have an appeal. So I could go on and on with this because it was just that magical and wonderful. And we didn't do it really the way they recommend, which is a leisurely. I mean, we did it, you know, we did the lightning round. we hit things, and in some cases, you know, you got to get a little lucky, too, when you're on a trip like this. Because you get to certain, you know, depending on your timing, you know, you might miss some place to eat, you know, because you're passing by in the morning. Oh, and frankly, there one weird thing that just sort of didn't really occur to us. Sunday, July 3rd, and Monday, July 4th, there was a lot of things closed. I mean, shut up tight. And that section, they say Sundays, anyway, Sunday, Mondays are a lot of things are closed. We did get lucky in El Rosa. One thing that I was not going to miss, El Rosa, Oklahoma, and the opportunity to have an onion burger. And there's three places. I think there's Johnny's, Sid's, and Robert's. And it's basically it's funny. There's that chain, you know, that smashes the burgers, acting like they created it. They didn't create it. the smash burger, particularly in this town, where they take a patty and then they pile thinly sliced onion on top and grill it, and then turn it and smash it down, and the onion gets literally incorporated. And I did not want to, something I absolutely wanted to have. And it just west of Oklahoma City, El Rosa. So we get there, and the first place we were going to go was Sid's. Seemed like the place that's sort of like an A plus. And then there's Robert's, which is like an A. And then I guess there's Johnny's, which is like a B plus. But Sid's was closed, so I'm like, oh no! All right, so we went around the corner, went to and Robert's was open, and Robert's is, I mean, you want to talk tiny? There's like seven stools. And it was fabulous. So that was, you know, things like that. So we got lucky in some cases, but there were other times we weren't lucky. The meteor crater, who knew about the meteor crater? Raise your hand, because I didn't. The meteor crater, we're driving along, and there's a sign, you know, the meteor crater. Okay. So I look it up quickly on Google. Out in the middle of Arizona, and it's a... It's just, giant a meteor that hit, and it's an important geological event. So we only had 20 minutes. It was going to close. It was 4:40, and I think they closed at 5. And so we raced up to it. We could see it in the distance. We raced up to it. It was unbelievable. The meteor crater. I mean, this is crazy. We found a place that was open. We feared it wouldn't be, and I don't even know. I think we got gas and said, "Well, let's swing by here." The Devil's Rope Museum. You're thinking, what? Devil's Rope Museum. Barbed wire is the Devil's Rope. It was unbelievably fabulous. This big hall, a fairly big hall, that, and they also have a Route 66 museum. It was incredible. It's managed by the Barbed Wire Collectors Association, and you're saying to yourself, how many? A bunch. All over, you know, anywhere there's ranches and farms, there's Barbed Wire Collectors Association, and it's in this McLean, Texas, and it was amazing. Amazing. Tina and I walked around slack-jawed. The people that make statues with and art with barbed wire, crazy. Just if you like Americana and I could go on and on with this, and I vowed that I wouldn't go longer than 15 minutes. So I'm right up on the edge. We'll get back to the Route 66 adventure and everything we enjoyed. We got to stay in at least one really authentic Route 66 hotel along the way. That was in Tucumcari at the Roadrunner Lodge. That was fabulous. I'm doing a disservice to Vedanta in Cancun because we got plenty to tell you about that too. So anyway, we're here at Horseshoe today and tomorrow to get the second half of the year going. It seemed like too good of an opportunity, and it's a huge weekend. Obviously, I've got to do some recapping here, but we got to look toward the weekend, and things start actually tomorrow in particular. Ellis Park kicks off their season. The summer is upon us, and the pea patch, if you think it's hot where you are, go head up there. I can only imagine. I haven't looked, actually. Here, of course, they had to they actually called off racing the other day, and the temperatures moderated, and it should be good for racing today. They don't race tomorrow, and then Saturday for Derby Day. It looks okay. Looks a little threat of rain. We hope that stays away. We'll talk to Eric in just a little bit. Eric Hallstrom will join us at the top of hour two. In addition to Ellis kicking off tomorrow, and they've got a terrific card to get things going tomorrow. And the other venue that rolls into this first full weekend. Technically, I guess last weekend was the first full, but tomorrow, the Iowa Festival of Racing. You got the 2 days of stakes action starts tomorrow, and you got some of the Iowa action, the Iowa bread, but you've also got the Iowa Derby and the Cornhusker and the Oaks as well, and you got tomorrow night. The sprint and the distaff and the Sailorville, the sprint. Just glancing actually at that sprint list, and I looked more at the Saturday card, but they've got a nice slate. You got a late pick four that features three of the stakes: the Sailorville, the Iowa distaff, and the sprint. It really doesn't seem right. You can't run the Iowa Sprint without Coach Jimmy Lee, right? The Oaks and the Derby, and the Oaks retains a Grade 3, and they got a nice group of eight lined up there on Saturday night, and the Iowa Derby drew 10. There are some crossover entrants with Indiana. And we'll go through this a little bit in detail with Eric later, but the card that they got to be very happy. And Eric, this morning we talked a little. He's pleased with the way the big card came together. And right now, a field of 10 with two cross entrants, Rattle and Roll, expected out of that American Derby win for McPeak, is also entered at Iowa, but this is graded, that isn't. Money's about the same, but best actor, emergent, the latest emergent, Brad Cox, another one for Gary and Mary West, and this is a horse that our friend Bo Lane bred, Flatter, out of a Smart Strike mare. Best actor, interesting. 4-1. Actuator, another horse that's cross-entered, Michael McCarthy. Actuator coming off of a maiden breaker at Churchill. And, of course, the Churchill season we'll talk about in a minute. And it's wind down. But Trademark, First Glimpse, Mowins, King Ottoman, Steve Asmussen, who had a fabulous weekend last weekend, including a scary-looking two-year-old, Gulfport. Yikes. New Year's Fever, a Indiana local for Indiana bred, Jim Edgar, Randy Steele, Trains. Rattle and Roll is mentioned. Best Actor is mentioned. Actuator is mentioned. Unoho! Unoho. Diodoro's going to saddle. And the Doug O'Neill's got Fowler Blue coming in out of the Texas Derby. So, field of 9 or 10 expected. The Oaks, Candy Raid, coming out of the regret try on turf, gets back to dirt. And, of course, it, you know, been a big price in the Kentucky Oaks. Napa Candy, Vicky Oliver, who showing up everywhere. Patna for Brad Cox and Judmont. Silverleaf for McPeak and Magdalena. That Interstate Daydream out of the Black Eyed Susan win. And she's the 9-5 favorite. North the County, Brendan Walsh, who also shows up everywhere. Runaway Right Wife, McPeak, and 63 caliber for Amos. So, Oaks and Derby Day here at Horseshoe, Indianapolis. The Schuster as well, paying tribute, the memorial race to the late longtime GM here, John Schuster. And I'm sure his family will be on hand. Then you got things like the Mary Holman George and the General Assembly and everything that comes with Derby Day at Indiana. So the Midwest celebrating a big Derby weekend between here on Saturday afternoon and then into the evening at Prairie Meadows. And those last three races I mentioned, the Schuster, the Oaks and Derby, they're going to be part of the cross country with Belmont and closing weekend at Belmont because, as Tina said the other day, we were in the car. She said, you realize you're going to get home and Saratoga is going to start. Yes. Yeah. Well, it's a big Saturday's very came together really well. They got to be very happy. I know everybody was still kind of, you know, all the, you know, the carrying on over short fields. Well, that at least isn't a problem for closing Saturday at Belmont because the Suburban, you know, Suburban, there's five, you know, nice horses, but the Oaks and the Derby, meaning the Belmont Oaks and Belmont Derby, they came up really intriguing. And full fields for both of the mile and a quarters, the grade ones that can have attracted Euros, and certainly some very interesting international participation to chew on when we do weekend preview tomorrow. So those two races, and also there's, what am I forgetting? The Victory Ride is on the card as well. So terrific wind down to the Belmont spring season. So two from Belmont, three from Indiana, and Indiana will be featured. We'll talk to Eric about this. Indiana will be featured as part of America's Day at the Races, which then becomes on Thursday next week, becomes Saratoga Live. I know. Hard to believe. Hard to believe the performances this past weekend. And I was able on Saturday to take in pretty much everything. And that included the outlandish performances. There were efforts this past weekend, between Life is Good in the Nehrut. We'll stay at Belmont for a second. Charge It. How about the way this is a story that probably deserves more attention and more credit, and that is Mandy Pope, some of her hard fought and, you know, seemingly now well spent investment starting to pay off, because she's starting to get some results. And we mentioned this, I think we mentioned this when Chargett, there was that weekend when Chargett broke his maiden, right? Wasn't there, and there was another, I'm going to forget which one it was, there was a, all of a sudden there's a few horses that are Mandy Pope showing patience, and it's paying off. Chargett was spectacular in the Dwyer. Life is Good got a 112, and that shouldn't have come as a surprise, but I suppose the way in which he beat Speaker's Corner, and I think that was the dominant theme of these big efforts, was, you know, yes, some favorites came through and all, but you didn't necessarily expect them to win the way they did. So Chargett, that performance, I mean, let's see, Life is Good won by five. And of course, you know, Saturday, I could not resist, because that's the way I am. I could not resist taking a swing at that pick six carryover, and it was tricky. I got beat up, to be honest. You know, there, a horse like Mail Order, I didn't think, you know, the James Karp, Bill Mott, Liam's Map filly, 11-1. I mean, it was tricky. You know, Jerry the Nipper moving to turf. I used him as a B, I made the wrong choice, ignoring Capensis, the Eclipse Lapenta Gainsway firster. There was a firster, the firster from Chad, and the firster from Pletcher. How about that starter allowance that you ended up, you know, you had, you know, field of five, and the longest shot, 7-1 wins. So anyway, I'm making my move, the Kimmel. I was weighing, you know, who do you throw out, or who do you not use in that allowance? Made the wrong choice pretty much everywhere. Those that made the right choices on Saturday on that sequence, you did very well, and congratulations. Our friend Matt Hooves hit it for 50K. 50,848 on the carryover sequence. So well done. Pick five paid $5,000. So it was fun on Saturday. But when it came to, as it turned out, when it came to charge it, you know, won by what? Secretariat margin. What was the official? The official was 23 lengths. That's great. So 111 buyer for charge it. And the 112 for Life is Good. And then when you swing over to Churchill on Saturday, Foster Day and Olympiad's effort. That was the, you know, the major, I mean, there's a lot going on Saturday there at Churchill, but that performance from Olympiad and the American Revolution, Proxy Mandaloon came back from his international jaunt and, you know, kind of just galloped around. But Olympiad, Bill Mott just sitting with just a crazy, crazy lineup, assortment of stars, because then on Sunday came back with Cody's Wish, winning the Hanshin, you know, the sweet story, the naming of the horse. Olympiad a 111 buyer. So, you know, one thing that somebody wrote on either Sunday or Monday, all right, the field size issues, they're not going to go away. You got to pick your spots and, you know, deal with it as you can. But the racing itself and the horses that have, you know, kind of the proverbial cream rising to the top kind of thing in almost every division. And even, you know, the two-year-olds have been around for 10 minutes. It's July, and there's two-year-olds coming out of the woodwork. So the racing has been, the performers are making themselves apparent. So from that standpoint, the racing has been very good. Would we prefer some, you know, more improved wagering opportunities? Yeah, of course. But I mean, look at, you know, look at Saturday at Belmont, and frankly, all of these cards at, you know, here at Indy, and mentioned Ellis, and Ellis's first two cards are drawn, and they both came up quite nice. And you know, Prairie, I mean, there's solid fields. I mean, maybe it'd be easier if there wasn't, we talk about this, there wasn't such a concentration of opportunities in such proximity. I mean, for there to be, you know, two Oaks and Derbies between here and Altoona, Iowa, I mean, which is, you know, simply just hop across Illinois, and after driving from Arizona to Indiana, I was more of a passenger, to be honest. After being in the car between Arizona and here, I can tell you, it's kind of a hop. You know, you after a while, you're driving around and you realize. But I mean, when you have both of these cards, it's pretty amazing, actually, how both have got nice fields for these. And you know, obviously, there's other overlap. We talk about this all the time. And maybe Hammer, although I'm sure when I talk to Hammer tomorrow, when he joins us, he's going to we're going to be hard pressed not to hit on some of our, you know, some of the adventure, because he has traversed those, you know, those roads extensively over the years, whether he's, you know, going back and forth to Arkansas these last few years, or going to national parks, which is a big thing that he and his wife Gina do. So maybe he can touch on it. Some of the other performances, the She Dares the Devil got me. I kind of shunted her, used her as a B or a C on the cross country and on the pick five, and that was a good performance. And Giroux, rattle and roll, as we mentioned, American Derby, and he's going to run back here in 2 weeks. The turf race, obviously, that came off with the situation at Churchill's grass course, being given a chance to, you know, improve the route structure, etc. Aloha West, I was going to wait and let Aloha West beat me, so I guess I can cross that off the list, because Rosario kind of willed him to the line in that Kelly's Landing. You know, and I covered him, but I was, you know, was trying to get a price in there. You know, then they had those that series of nice overnights, Little Tootsie, and we mentioned Cody's Wish. Monday, closing day at Churchill, Gulfport, and was in contact with, I was actually talking to Scott Blasey more about, you know, his upbringing in Oklahoma, because we were driving across it. But he says this Gulfport is just a running fool. The Uncle Mo, and just a wow performance in that Bashford Manor. And the Mark Cassie and the Greens. I sent a note to our accountant, the Green Group, Len Green, John, DJ Stable, with Wonder Wheel, named, of course, for the Ferris wheel at Coney Island. Wonder Wheel, nice winner of the debutante. Now, what, 3 for 3? And Michelle Lovell with that fabulous debut. The Gervin, Damon's Mound, 84. How about that? 84 buyer for Damon's Mound. I had to include that. So, elsewhere, before Jeremy Rose joins us, and we could reach we'll talk to him about his win, not just the win in the over the weekend at Delaware in the Christiana. Should mention Midnight Strolls win in the Delaware Oaks and main event too. Eric Cancel sweeps the two graded stakes at Delaware, and of course the Del Cap this weekend, and the supporting Del Cap card. Got to get to that as well. I got that somewhere here on the desk, and I've taken over. It doesn't take long for me to start spreading the PPs everywhere, right? We got Woodbine updates, but Jeremy Rose with Graham Motion. Sparkle Blue won the Christiana. And the Jeremy Rose story, there's actually three jockey stories that I wouldn't mind touching on here. Not all this week, because we don't have a ton of time, but next week, too. Chantal Sutherland, who continues to win and riding really well, and this kind of career reboot of its own. She won the Smile down at Gulfstream for Delgado with Willie Boy. And Sheldon Russell back after nearly a year recouping from injury. And Sheldon back. So between Russell and Rose and Sutherland, I thought there's been some really, you know, nice stories in terms of jocks getting back and so forth. So I think we're going to have a little, you know, a little feature to touch on with them. So, Case, let's get Jeremy in here. In terms of some visits, Jeremy Rose, Eric Hallstrom is going to join us in a little bit. Dick Powell, going to touch base with Dick as we wrap up the season for the Hong Kong Jockey Club. All right, we'll do that and more. I've got plenty of other news and you know, story lines to tell you about. And of course, you know, the start of the HISA implementation and administration, which seemed to go, you know, seemed to go over smoothly enough. You know, just to get going, the situation in Texas will have to be addressed again. I mean, we got a big weekend of racing coming, so that'll be our focus. But next week, you know, in advance of the Saratoga opening stuff, I'm sure we'll get a full fledged checkup and pulse taking on the HISA front. I should mention that this morning, and it's an ongoing situation right now, and I reached out to Rhonda Norby and to Sal Sinatra at Equibase and Jockey Club. There was a transformer explosion in Lexington overnight that has crippled the Encompass system, and anybody trying to do entries today. I was talking to Eric about it as well. Everybody is a little hamstrung right this minute. And so Rhonda, in fact, just got back to me and said there's really no update. You know, they continue to monitor the power and the rebooting. So for those of you that are, you know, sitting in racing offices, and it's Thursday, so, you know, there's a lot of entry taking going on. So everybody's in kind of a wait and watch mode and, you know, keep checking. And if there's anything that, you know, we get, we can get... we'll get it out to you. I don't know what else to, and I'm just seeing what the last, here, let me just see what her last update, while Casey's trying to, about an hour ago. So, all right, Casey's working on the phone situation, and here, I'll read it. Our Kentucky office is operating on generators after a power issue. Certain technology infrastructure is not operating, and key equipment will be replaced this morning. We're considering a failover fall over to our DR site. Thank you for your patience. Update you in 2 hours. This includes Equibase, Blood Horse, Encompass, and Equine Line. Any Encompass customers that need any specific information, you can reach Chris Dobbins, 281-793-2625. All right, and I'll keep checking back. This goes back obviously to yesterday. So it's been a headache. Let's put it that way. I'll mention, and I'm expecting that we will get a visit at some point. The news that came. I'm losing track of days. If today's Thursday, so it might have been, would have been Tuesday. The news of Hank Goldberg's passing, and I'll take a minute. And I know, I suppose that maybe if we talk to Jay tomorrow, he'll have some thoughts. There, if you saw my tweet, Hank had been on the show several times, and most recently, it actually surprised me, I think 5 years ago, when he eulogized Edwin Pope, fabulous Miami Herald sports writer and turf writer. And Hank was a real treasure. And he was a connection. He was a live connection to a certain era and a certain kind of, I termed them broadcaster prognosticator. Jimmy the Greek type and Axe, Pete Axthelm and Harvey. I mean, Harvey as well. And these were... And I really, I don't, Musburger has done more, a lot more of that kind of work. But that's really not what he cut his teeth on. What Hank Goldberg is and was, was a sports pulse taker. He was out there with an ear to the ground and had, the old-fashioned network of contacts, and would, weave information into opinions. And he was very opinionated. He had that show down in Florida for years, his radio show. And what was great about Hank and those like Hank and his ilk, they have a persona that is the exterior, that you could call it shtick to some degree. But behind that, they are armed with real polish and the ability to very professionally deliver the information. And that's that was certainly one of Harvey's great skills. He might refute this, and it's just popping in my head as I say that, and I'm thinking, well, who is like that, who is still like that? Andy Serling, it may be, and of course, as a disciple of Harvey's, but Andy probably is, of a younger generation. Andy's probably the individual that has that, that same set of tools. in terms of being, you know, certainly something of a, I don't want to call it curmudgeonly, but, you know, Hank would be, I think I call them bombastic and irascible. There you go. There's the two descriptions. But in reality, when you got to be around him, he was sweet and delightful. And I'm thrilled that, Roxy Roxborough, by the way, Roxy is certainly a living, breathing icon of this ilk. But Hank, I mean, the early days of the remodeled Gulfstream, Hank was like a Tasmanian devil up in Christine Lee's. I mean, you could find Hank at any time either at the bar or you know at a table and bouncing back and forth between the windows and a lot of fun, really fun. And he got sick the last couple of years, but he saw opportunities and he understood the landscape, the media landscape. He went out to Vegas and you know over and over again he was able to you know reboot his not that his career needed rebooting, but he had a real good understanding of the the sports gambling zeitgeist and atmosphere and circumstance. He wonderful, irreplaceable type. They don't come along all that often. So best wishes, sister and everybody, friends, and I'm sure we'll have some visits that pay tribute appropriately to Hank Goldberg. Casey's working on the phone situation, so we will vamp until there is a clear resolution on that front. All right, let me go to the briefcase. I had a handful of other things that I was expecting to do, but if we can't, until we get some of the visits going, all right, we'll have to clean up on some of the stuff that we weren't around for, and I mentioned most of the Churchill and Belmont results here. There we go. Turn this over. All right. Nope. That's. I know I have it because I don't lose anything, or at least I don't. At least I don't throw anything away. Things may get lost, but they don't get thrown out. That's for sure. I love it. All right, here we'll catch up on the rest of those stakes action. And Case, if I have to, I can do the phones on this end. I'm using the new equipment, by the way, and which is now the second time as I begin to introduce it to to being employed. This is this Via box that is a third the size of what I normally carry around. I thought you know, this is the opportunity to take it on the road because it was going to have to be with us for, you know, 2 weeks. I didn't want to take up too much space. So I took this thing, and I'm still getting used to it, but there's a lot of things I'm going to be able to do with it. In fact, Jay Pridman told me, where were we? We were, must have been at, I don't know if we were at Preakness or if at, might have been even might even been Derby Week, but we were talking about it, and Jay says that they Thoroughbred LA, he said they've got one and they love it, and there's a million things, and as it happens, they are from this tie line is from Indianapolis, so I may later today run over and have them give me, you know, a further the manual, you know, like in Beetlejuice, reads like stereo instructions. I read the manual and I have no idea what I just read. So, and there's video tutorials and everything else. So, after the top of the hour, we could, if we can't, if Casey can't get us going, we will, on the phone side, we will, pick it up. I mean, Eric's going to join us in 10 minutes, Eric Hallstrom, so I'll start on that front. You know what? When I suppose when Rachel McLaughlin gets in, we could just turn the show over to her and let her, God knows what where that would go. before a couple of other results, how about a quick glance? The Dell Cap on Saturday, 3:30 post, goes as the seventh at Delaware. They've got a field of seven, and some interesting participants actually in this, and a good card again. The Dashing Beauty drew nine early on. They've got a couple of good maiden specials that drew full fields. It's going to be a good card. The Battery Park has got that's $100,000 three and ups going a mile of 16th. That drew nine and looks okay. But the Dell Cap, which I'm sure would love to get, you know, a grade one winner or two to come through, or some grade one participant types to come through so it can get its grade one back, and which was a huge point of pride at Delaware. But it's going to start out with Battle Bling coming out of the Obeah, where Miss Leslie drew the outside here with Angel Cruz for Claudio Gonzalez. This a painter filly that has been pretty solid, winning, you know, kind of listed stake type things and you know, 100,000, 100 granders, as it were, a lot of them. And, you know, got what? One, two. It's got four $100,000 stake wins. Things like the 38 Go-Go and the Carousel at Laurel. Was second in the ladies to Battle Bling, as mentioned, looking for graded stake. And this would be a big skin for Miss Leslie to take down. BB Horses owns 2-1. Miss Leslie, your favorite in the Dell Cap. Rob Atrus mentions, brings Michael Dubbs Battle Bling down. And the Vancouver Philly tried the La Trienne and was fourth at Churchill on Oaks Day. Won the ladies at Aqueduct, not to be confused. And of course, and actually they were, yeah, they were one too, Miss Leslie and Battle Blank. And who else is intriguing here? Shug's got Bees and Honey for Andrew Rosen and Anthony Beck. 6-1. Respoli aboard. 4-1, Microcap, Grant Forster, shipping over from the Spectrum. Vargas gets the call, coming out of the Lady Jacqueline at Thistledown. Tonal Vision, Onyx, and Let's Cruise. So, field of seven, Mac Robertson comes over from Hawthorne with Let's Cruise. Not this time, Philly. Just missed in the Roma Caca. Remember Roma Caca? She was all right. There's also the Robert Dick Memorial, the grade three, mile and 3/8 on the grass. This drew a field of 10. And Brendan Walsh comes invading with Temple City Terror for Pocket Aces. This is she has really been, you know, she's up to $435,000 in earnings. Five-time winner and multiple stake winner now. And Kirtana, you know, the two-time Kirtana winner, 3-1. Key Biscayne for Alvarado. Michael Dickinson, Belle Belisa. Treasure Tales, La Lune, Ed Vaughn, Sister O'Toole for Graham Motion. Talked to Graham earlier this morning. Stand Tall for Rusty Arnold for Watts Humphrey and the Ashbrook team. Whimsical Muse, Kelly Breen, Gladys for Kelsey Danner, and of course the Rachel Alexandra sister. But disappointed in the Neshaminy at Philly. But I will say this, that turf course is not for everybody. Arno Delacour in here with Dr. Will's luck money, 6-1. Field of 10 for the Robert Dick. Nice, nice Del Cap card. Just 8 races. They didn't feel obliged to, you know, shove a bunch of races in that they couldn't fill. So you got a pick 5 that starts 15% takeout, starts in race 3. So you got 4 stakes and a maiden special. 9 by 11 by 9 by 10 by 7. Very nice. The Del Cap card. So a lot of good racing this weekend. I mean, we're going to have our hands full tomorrow for weekend preview. Right now, we got our hands full right now because we may have Eric Hallstrom for the next 2 hours after the break. Casey's still trying to get between Equibase and their issues and. And now we've got these phones. All right, coming up on the top of the hour, and one thing we can do is we can go out toward this break, and I felt obliged to give you a taste, and there it is. Here it comes.
If you ever plan to motor west, travel my way, take the highway, that's the best. Get your kicks on Route 66.
Bobby Troup.
From Chicago to L.A. Walk 2,000 miles all the way. Hey, get your kicks on Route 66.
It didn't occur. One thing we didn't do. Hearing Bobby Troup, you talk about the miles. I think when we programmed the Flagstaff to Chicago portion initially, I think it was 1,600 miles. So we cut out, you know, the St. Louis to Chicago, and we did our own version here by coming to Indy. So I'm not sure. We should have reset the odometer counter, so we would have known how far we actually had traveled.
Hey, you go from St. Louis, Joplin, Missouri, Oklahoma.
Joplin
looks mighty pretty. You'll see.
We didn't spend much. Amarillo, we enjoyed.
Gallup, New Mexico.
We saw Gallup.
And
we started.
San Bernardino, won't you get hip to this timely tip?
Yeah.
When you make it.
We'll give you 4 versions.
California trip.
Of Route 66. Hour 1, we got to still get to Jeremy Rose, and Eric's going to join me next, though. Eric Halston. Eric Hallstrom, and we'll talk about what's going on here at Indy. Back from a really nice vacation. Talk to you after the break.